everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Fired Up, your source for Friday evening conservative talk. First, I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in. I've seen the numbers on my own personal profile as I do restream this there, and thank you. Feel free to ask any question you have. It's a show where we welcome dialogue, welcome comments, and you can feel free to disagree. I have no qualms in setting the G-man down to tell you the truth there. And with that, tonight we're going to talk about the left assassination culture, and it's no joke. There's a YouGov poll that shows liberals are 8 times more tolerant of political violence than conservatives. The conservative Latino was right all along. From glorifying killers like Mangione to blaming victims like Kirk, their rhetoric fuels real bloodshed, as we've seen over and over. Trump assassinations 2 times, Charlie Kirk, and I can go on, and we will later on in the show. But we're going to start off with the disgrace that is Jimmy Kimmel, and I do mean disgrace. You know, Jimmy Kimmel had a child that was struggling. He got a lot of love from conservatives. What's he do when an icon gets struck down? He mocks it. He lies about it purposely. The information was out that was correct, and he in the past said that, hey, he's got a crack research crew. Well, if they did their job, he would have known. And I know for a fact, I've been on television, these research teams do their jobs. Why? They don't want to avoid any I don't know if it's libel or the G-man can correct me which one. But they don't want to get sued for lying. So we're going to talk about why he was fired. It's not anything to do with the First Amendment. And we're going to educate those specifically on what the First Amendment really means. Why Kimmel was suspended. Spoiler alert, it has everything to do with the ABC and their image, the FCC regulations they weren't following, the ratings, which are abysmal, the cost of the show, and yes, business dealings. That's looking at the bigger picture. So yes, there are reasons he was suspended, and they're all legit. But it's also time for a conservative wake-up call, and it's time for pushback. Not violently, but peacefully, by preaching the word, by not backing down when people are lying about us. Because that's what we've allowed to happen for decades. I saw this in the 90s, and I was very concerned about it, and all of my nightmares have proven to come true. Are we right with the beliefs and thoughts and data we're going to show you? Well, we'll present it, we'll debate it, and you can decide. And we have a great guest tonight. He's a young voice. Look, one of the things I want to do with this show is to bring young voices on. Statistically, the G-Man and I are closer to death than we are to life. So I want to bring people who haven't hit that point yet. And we got Garian Frankel, who goes by Gary. He will weigh in. Where does the future political voice stand? He'll join the debate. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumbliesmedia.com. Check out our new swag. You can support us. We have mugs. We have shirts. We have hats. And you can follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora under the handle Grumblies Media. And if you're listening, please hit that thumbs up and share this live stream. But first, before we begin, the latest since the Charlie Kirk murder that has reignited the battle of free speech and open debate. And it's ignited the debate of where the violence is coming from. So, TPUSA, when I did these notes, had 54,000 new chapter requests nationwide. I read that they now, or heard that they now have 62,000. Charlie Kirk's original goal was 20,000 chapters. Wow, this will blow it away once these chapters get established. And as we know, the assassination attempt has backfired. I've never seen a movement. I was telling my friend, she happens to be African American. We grew up as kids together. It's funny because they're Panamanians, but they would be considered Afro-Caribbean. And as you can see with our, the Spaniard is in our blood. But we grew up kids playing together and we love one another. And she was angry because they were saying, Charlie Kirk's a martyr. And I told her, you know, we don't decide who a martyr is. There are many martyrs I don't view as martyrs, but society has told me otherwise. The movement that becomes organic, that just begins to move on its own because of the words. And that's what Charlie Kirk has done with his death, has created a movement which is turning him into a martyr. Since then, George Zinn, the old man that they captured, and he said, don't shoot, don't shoot. He has come out and said he was doing that so the killer could get away. Vile person. But what have we learned since then? Well, he's been arrested for child porn on his computer. Now, I could sit there and say, typical leftist, but I'm not. There's just bad people out there. in all parties, in all ideologies. It just so happens things are not going to go good for that old man who thought he was doing a good deed is going to wind up probably in prison for the rest of his life. I was just told my Chiron has a Big John's name. I have to fix that. So, the media is decrying cancel culture as Kirk's assassination celebrators get fired. Teachers are cheering Kirk's murder. There's one teacher showing the video to 11-year-old kids. What the hell's the matter with this country? What the hell's the matter with the left? Because, yes, most teachers' unions are leftists or progressive, I guess. Because I do believe the teachers themselves do want to help. And that's Garyon's specialty, so we'll ask him. Me, personally, I think they want to help, but they want to indoctrinate too. And what we're seeing is the indoctrination happening at grammar, middle, and high school. How do I know it's grammar? I had a friend from Honduras. Yes, he speaks his broken English. I used to make fun of him. He could be a bodyguard. He'd scare people away. He came in talking to me distraught. Wasn't in tears, but the anger tears, you know. He had a parent-teacher conference. He's very, very Catholic, very, very godly. And he says they had the pride, they had the LGBT. He goes, when I brought that up, she looked down on me like I was stupid. And with my broken English. I mean, I got the whole for half an hour. I just let him rant. He needed somebody to let go. And that made me realize, this was a few years ago, that made me realize they are now indoctrinating at the grammar school level. The middle school, the high school. And then they radicalize at the university level. And you people need to understand, you conservatives, why are you sending your children to college? If you know this is going to happen, you think little Johnny's down the street, it's going to happen to little Johnny, but not your kid. And then you wonder why it's your kid. And then on top of that, you're the one going into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. I only know one conservative family where that changed. They came to me proudly because they knew I'd been writing them up on it. He says, William, it worked. You know, she dropped out. She had dropped out twice. They had paid for her to go back twice. The third time she did it, she wanted to go back. They said, you're on your own. In fact, you need to move out and get a job. She ended up graduating as fast as she could because it was coming out of her pocket. She had no time for the nonsense because she had to take a job, and she turned out okay. But that's the exception, I believe. I could be wrong. Garyon has those. I don't know if he has those numbers, but that's his world. Now, what about the First Amendment battle? We're going to talk about that as well. Belief versus the truth. Let's clarify this. The First Amendment protects against government censorship. It does not shield you from consequences by private companies. Kimmel wasn't silenced by the state. He was held accountable by his employer after affiliate pushback. And yes, FCC warnings of regulations not being followed and or being ignored and broken. This is not tyranny. It's organizational accountability. It's big business, little business, whatever business you want to call it. How you are seen determines sales and lifespan. And that's where we stand right now. So I want to bring in my co-host, the G-Man, and our guest for the evening, Mr. Garyon Frankel. Let me do that right now. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Doing great.
Well, we all know who the G-Man is, so we will skip the G-Man here, but he is my co-host, has been for a while. He is actually a school board member, duly elected, Rancho Santa Fe, and as I am a former member of the Valley Center Planning Group, so we are elected, we do know politics, and then we have a young up-and-comer. Like I said, I love saying it with the accent, Garyon Frankel, who goes by Gary. Gary! That's like me, though, Gary. It's like, what's your name? Willie. We're going up, Willie. And then it was my boss in fundraising. You sound like a 12-year-old when you say Willie. It's William. And ever since that day, it's been William. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a bit about YouGov.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a doctoral researcher in education policy at Texas A&M University. I've also been writing about politics and education and just commentary in general for about 5 years now. I'm right in the belly of the beast in academia. I mean, I'm at Texas A&M, so everything is turned down several notches from the rest of the country. But, you know, you still see semblances of some of the stuff going on in education in general here. But most of my research, most of my focus is on the K-12 system. So, you know, naturally a lot of this stuff has been right within my wheelhouse, like you said.
So real quick, based on my monologue, and I tell Gary guys to everyone in the audience to feel free to push back. I don't ever want to. I know when I was younger, and I'm not saying you are, I'm not trying to generalize, but when I was younger, I was always a little bit hesitant, you know, to push back or speak my piece at times. So what do you think? Am I just barking up the right tree, partially right? Or how do you see this? My friend who is from Honduras, what he experienced, are you seeing that more and more, or is that an outlier?
Oh, well, it depends on where you are in the country. It depends.
California.
Yeah. It depends the sort of district you're in. But a big part of it, and, you know, it's something that a lot of us in educational reform world have been sounding the alarm about ever since the pandemic, is that there is a pretty significant divide between normal educators and then the unions that claim to represent them. Normal educators, for the most part, just want to teach kids how to read and do math. Now, some of the methods that they learn in schools of education, not always the greatest. There's been some developments on that front, but their hearts are in the right place. They don't always have the right tool. And I'd say this is, you know, a solid at least 40, 50, even 60% of educators that aren't worried about politics. They just want to teach kids to read and do math. The unions, on the other hand, the unions are essentially just progressive arms of the Democratic Party, and they're really the last true bastion of how, you know, progressive union activism played a huge role in Democratic politics for most of the 20th century, and that union influence has either gone away or switched to the GOP.
Right. But at the end of the day, they're very powerful. At least on here, I love to say this because it's true. The unions castrated Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was trying to push. And after that, Arnold Schwarzenegger veered hard towards not to the left, but to the middle left. And now you see where he stands. He decided to make climate change his cause because he wants to be liked.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, it didn't work. I think we've seen the last of him. His FUBAR Netflix series got canceled. I loved season one. Season two, I didn't make it through episode one. And then like a week later, I'm reading, it's been canceled. So I was happy. But God bless him. He's a rich.
That was quick.
Yeah. So let's get right on into this. Jimmy Kimmel. We know what he said. He mocked the whole Charlie Kirk incident. He claimed that MAGA is trying to make this man to be what he's not. He is MAGA, one of their own killed. Now, I am obviously paraphrasing here, but that's in essence what he said. And he got immediate pushback. The phones lit up. Now, ABC has some issues here. His ratings have stunk. Listen to this, guys. In 2015, he averaged 2.4 million viewers nightly. That's for late night. It's not Carson numbers and not even Leno numbers, but that's pretty good. And for the audience out there, you have a demographic that is deemed highly coveted. And that is I want to say like the 34 to 54, 33. It's from the 30s into the early 50s. He was doing 1.6 million. That's pretty damn impressive, actually. Fast forward to 2025. And I'm sorry, he was doing 1 million viewers in 2015 in that demographic, the coveted demographic. Fast forward to 2025, he's gone from 2.4 to 1.6 million. But even worse, he's gone from 1 million viewers in the coveted demographic to 261,000 viewers. And as Megyn Kelly said, that's a 75% loss. Now that's broadcast television. And to the friends, that's a free TV. You can watch with the rabbit ears, etc. But there are laws you must follow as a broadcast network. And those laws aren't in place in cable, like cursing. You should not be able to curse on broadcast. You can curse on cable and streaming, podcasting, all that. All that's private, but not broadcast. Greg Gutfeld is on cable. We bring Greg Gutfeld up as an example a lot because he's the only example we have. But he's averaging 3.2 million every night, and you have to pay for cable. You may not realize it, but when you're paying for your cable package, certain channels get up front where you, whether you want them or not, you're going to get them, and you're paying. And they give every dollar you pay, Fox, CNN, they all get a percentage of that, usually like 20 cents for every dollar. That's considered phenomenal. You know, so you're looking at those numbers. But when you're talking 75 million, 100, 150 million households, that's real cash. So he's averaging 3.2 million overall nightly and 381,000 in that key demo. So to the panelists here, what are your thoughts on the free speech argument they're trying to make, the fact there are broadcast regulations, and the fact there's also what people want to purposely ignore, plain old business that has to be dealt with. Let's start off with G before we go to Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that nothing has been done this far just in terms of his employment, right? And I think back to the Johnny Carson days as a kid. I would watch it with my dad, and there was nothing controversial about it. It was actually pretty cool that they would bring on, you know, people from the San Diego Zoo and all that. And I think it was around George W. Bush's time where Letterman started just getting more and more political, and then all these other guys just jumped on the bandwagon and exposed their whole left-wing ideology, right? And it just became right. normal until Obama gets in, and it's like, oh, we're not going to make any jokes about the president. Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I thought this was a mainstay now. So my thing is, I think a lot of people are tuning out just because, I mean, if you look at the 2015, right, that's right around the time Trump started running. Yeah, look at that. So right around the time Trump started running, and then people are jumping out because the hypocrisy was there. I don't remember which one it was, but one of them welcomed Trump with open arms during the primary. And there was tremendous applause in the audience until he won the primary.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, we really don't want this guy to win. And I just tuned out. I haven't watched Late Night in 10 years, not because of Trump, but just in general. Like, you know, if you're just going to bash political figures on the right and not say anything about Biden, there's plenty of material about Biden for 4 years, and they said nothing. And exactly. They just ignored it. So I think a lot of people just decided to tune out. I'm just surprised this hasn't happened earlier.
Exactly, exactly. Gary, your thoughts on this, and feel free to comment. Real quick to the audience, if you look at this chart, Gary, give me your thoughts on this as well. Jimmy Kimmel Live, you see the peak. You see the Late Show, that's Stephen Colbert. But look at the Tonight Show. From in the past, how high it was with Leno, and then Jimmy Fallon started out high, I want to say right around right after that top marker, and he slowly has collapsed, and Colbert collapsed too. But at the end of the day, Colbert was doing better. But Kimmel's have completely collapsed. Your thoughts here, Gary?
Well, I mean, the thing with Jay Leno was that he was actually funny.
Yes.
None of these guys are funny. And that's a big part of the problem, is because the whole history of late night television, it's supposed to be entertainment. You are supposed to have fun watching it. And I don't care about these people's politics. Nobody in my generation, regardless of their political views, cares about these people's politics. You know,
right.
I mean, all of us have attention spans of 3 seconds or less because of TikTok and all the other algorithm-based apps to begin with. We're definitely not going to hear about some random celebrity in California's political views for an hour just because that's not what's on TV at the time. I mean, we're going to be
correct.
Doing doom scrolling instead. So it shouldn't be any surprise that late night television has fallen off a cliff just because it's utterly uninteresting. If we want to hear people blather about their progressive political views for an hour, we can go literally anywhere else. It's
correct.
Everybody listened to Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart was funny up until maybe about 2015, and then everything just went off a cliff.
And
Jon Stewart isn't funny anymore.
And speaking of Jon Stewart, he himself said, look, late night's dying. It's a dying breed. You know, we have to deal with that. And the reason this is important, let's talk about the free speech. Free speech protects you from the government. It protects you. The government can't go after you because you said something and throw you in jail. That's pretty much the general outlook of free speech. When you have a private company, you can say what you want. You're not going to go to jail, but that private company has its own value system, its own belief, its own business interests to consider. And because this is what you need to know, audience, it's broadcast television. There are two regs specifically that broadcast networks have consistently broken for at least the last 10, 15 years that hasn't been regulated. And now that it's Trump, what Brandon Carr said, and maybe he shouldn't have said it, but he did not say anything that was not true. Y'all got to clean yourself up or we're going to have to. Now, he shouldn't have said it because it's publicly, because it's created this political firestorm, but legally, he was within his right. The government has a public interest when it comes to licensing these companies. over the airways. If not, ABC, just go full cable and be done with it. So he had a right to say that. Should he have? I agree with the people who say he probably shouldn't have, but I'm okay. And the reason this is important, people no longer get their news from ABC News, CBS News, NBC News. They get it from streaming. They get it from the internet. They get it from X, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, True Social, Blue Sky. You know?
People go there?
Yeah. And the problem here is 24% of America, I don't know if it's today, but this is when I found this a couple of days ago, 24% believe the shooter was Republican, 21% believe Democrat, 15% said something else. So the point is, we know it was a radicalized young man who leaned left based off the radicalization. So because of that, and I spoke to the lawyer, he goes, yeah, there's a lot of evidence there, you know, for the FCC to go after them legitimately. And I think this data here talks about that clearly. Your thoughts on the First Amendment there, G, along with anything else I've said before we move on from the topic?
Underscore it. The First Amendment is supposed to protect your free speech from the government, to not throw you in jail because you say, hey, we should have lower tax rates, right? But if I go to my employer and then my boss, and I just start cussing them out, or I make some really crude joke to one of the women there, I'll probably get fired. And everyone knows that, and everyone agrees with it. Like, you got to treat the people around you correctly. You don't have free speech to say whatever you want in a situation like that. Or just think about, okay, your neighbor down the street, and then you start, you know, going on YouTube and saying stuff about that person and using their name and spreading libel and slander. Well, they can sue you, and you might have a very monetary cost to what you're saying. You're not going to be thrown in jail necessarily, but yeah, you'll probably pay a price.
Correct.
So Jimmy Kimmel, by saying what he did, he was clearly, I think he worded it enough to say, okay, I didn't necessarily say that this guy was MAGA, but it was close enough that the ABC guy said, no, you pretty much meant that. And that was the implication, because people on the left are right. He didn't say the shooter was MAGA. But the implication was clear, and like you said, anyone who is listening and you know, they're, you know, what they're called, low information voters, they just take it and they tune on, you know, the late night, and they're like, oh, the guy was a Republican, he's a Trump voter, oh, those guys are out of control, right? So I support ABC being within their right to go, you know what, you're not bringing the money in anyways, so you're out of here.
Correct. So, Gary, for the audience, it's SEC Public Interest Standard 47 U.S.C. Code 309. Broadcasters must serve the public interest to create accurate reporting and avoiding content that foreseeably harms the public. Then there's SEC Hoaxes Rule 47 CFR 73.1217, which prohibits broadcasting false information about a crime or catastrophe. Now, somebody sarcastically said, oh, what, they do the news? They do not, but as I've shown, people no longer watch the news to get the news. Thus, there is influence here. So your thoughts on the First Amendment, as well as are we conservatives making too much hay out of nothing, or are we being legit to get a voice? Let me put it this way. We're happy he's gone. We're happy that the rules are finally being followed. But are we going over the top here?
Well, it's important to distinguish between what I call the letter of the First Amendment and then the spirit of the First Amendment. When you just look at what the First Amendment says and then all the case law that's developed about it over the years, ABC was well within their rights to dunk on Jimmy Kimmel. He did probably violate a large number of FCC rules that would have at the very least warranted some sort of extensive investigation, if not taking him off the air entirely. So, you know, if the left is looking for a symbol of, oh my God, we're descending into tyranny, Jimmy Kimmel is probably the wrong choice.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do think conservatives need to be careful to recognize the spirit of the First Amendment, because I think the FCC publicly commenting on this situation was a horrific mistake.
Correct.
And I think a lot of the legitimacy surrounding conservative complaints about what people are saying and where they're saying it and where they're getting fired and where they're getting fired because of it have already been delegitimized by what the FCC has said. And if it goes any farther, I mean, what Pam Bondi said the other day was just ridiculous.
You know, Pam Bondi hurt the conservative cause more than Brendan Carr. But here's the thing about Pam Bondi. You immediately saw pushback. I tweeted out, are you kidding me? I've tried to support you, but you keep putting your foot in your mouth. You know, hate speech is free speech. So I think both scenarios had diffused themselves because Colbert was the end of the world. We are Colbert. We are Jimmy Kimmel. So you're a couple of pajama boys is what the left is telling us. But my point is, you don't even hear about Colbert anyway. And business is business. You're dealing with conglomerates who don't care what you rabble rousers say at this point. Not because they don't care for you. It's because they know they're going to get you anyway. If those are the ones watching these late shows, y'all aren't going to go anywhere. And to sit there and to think that this is going to hurt us long term is a legitimate issue. But I don't think it will simply because of the death of Charlie Kirk. You know, and nobody cares what they're saying. And I also think it's about we're fighting back. We are, because for generations, Gary, and you can back me up on this, we're not going to rise to that level. And when you don't, and when there's nobody to challenge you, lies become truths. And as we know, the bully, you have to punch a bully in the nose. In this case, we're using the less sane tactics. But Matt Walsh brought up a great point. When they were canceling us, we were angry. They would bring up 30-year tweets or stuff from high school or something. Like, remember Mitt Romney, the race? Oh, in high school, he was mean to somebody, you know? or he put his dog on a, you know, nonsense. Or the Me Too movement. They would just make baseless accusations with no proof. Or they would fire somebody just because they wore a MAGA hat. We're like, that's wrong. That's wrong. Y'all are sitting there denigrating Charlie Kirk. And we're telling you, we're not going to go to Office Depot because you're denigrating Charlie Kirk. And we're going to use our individual power to talk to another individual to say, hey, let's join up and let's make an example, which is America and our right to do. But we're doing it when people talk about we're doing the same thing. Yes and no. We're not digging up old stuff. We're not making up lies. We wanted Jimmy Kimmel canceled because he lied. And as G said, he did it in a way where maybe legally or maybe not, he could have gotten away with it. But I do know this, TPUSA, one of their bigwigs, and they're all young over there. So it's like one of their bigwigs, a young kid in his early 30s. He said,
bigwig, yeah. Bigwig's like 24.
Yeah. They've been cataloging all this. And he goes, we are going to take legal action. I don't know which one it is, libel or slander. Always confuse the two. One's print, one's speaking.
Libel's print and slander is spoken.
Okay. There you go. Okay. And they said, we got good lawyers. So I'm going to be on the lookout for that. So I'm proud of the fact we are pushing back with truth. And with that, let's move on, my friends. Let us move on. I'm scrolling down. My notes are pretty hefty here. I want to talk real quick about Obama. You know, Obama had the audacity to say, none of this was ever in my wheelhouse. I never threatened this. I never threatened that. Let me bring up one acronym. IRS. When he used the IRS to go after conservative nonprofits. And he didn't go after them directly. What he did is he held up their nonprofit status to get through the election cycle. Yep. You know, that's not, I mean, people went to prison or were found guilty of that. Benghazi. You know, he left our boys to die. So stop it with the lies, Obama. And here's my proud thing about Obama is, he never had relevance outside of his own race. And by race, I mean his political races. He won those, but he had one of the worst endorsement track records in the history of presidents because he was a manufactured product by the media. Well, now that he's off the teleprompter, he really can't spin his message like he used to. Real quick, your thoughts on Obama. We'll go with Gary.
Okay.
Yeah, he has definitely not had the best track record as far as the next president goes. I think some of it might even be that he's just forgotten some of the stuff that his administration pulled. I mean, it's certainly been, you know, almost 10 years since it ended now. And it seems like every scandal and every problem just kind of blew over in the long run. And he's trying to fashion himself from a political standpoint as an elder statesman. And, right. and it's not working because his administration was dependent on the strength of his cult of personality. But, you know, love him or hate him, Trump stole all his thunder in that department.
Right, right. G, your thoughts. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary. Were you continuing?
Oh, I was just about done.
No, you said cult of personality. Reminds me of that guitar riff from that song from, what was it, 1990, 1989, Living Color. Amazing
yeah,
song.
Yeah, but yeah,
I think there was a lot of disillusionment with Obama. And, you know, I mean, I don't think any of this rises to the idea. I mean, the IRS scandal is pretty close, but nothing rises to the idea that he was stifling free speech in any way. But I mean, probably spreading misinformation. That's absolutely true. But I think Biden was a bigger, even more guilty of it. Because what was it, about a year ago, before the election, Zuckerberg of Meta, Facebook, came out and said, well, we got a call from Biden or Biden's people saying, look, you've got to squash all this talk about the vaccine and you know, that COVID's not dangerous and all this stuff and make it sound like – and I think he said this a year ago, but this was after Biden got elected. Right. And he was basically trying to force everyone to get a vaccine. That's what Biden was trying to do. And Zuckerberg played along with that. But I also believe before the 2020 election, they stifled the Hunter Biden laptop as well. So now you're looking at, you know, election interference and Zuckerberg trying to get ahead of the ball saying, wait a minute, if Trump gets back in, maybe they'll come after me and my company. So I think he just kind of went out there and, you know, Trump is very transactional. Like, if you're for me, life's going to go good. If you're not for me, then you're out of my house and you're in the doghouse. So I think Biden is the one who's probably more guilty of actual manipulation of, you know, people's free speech and all that. So if you remember Trump and Trump was taken off of Twitter and a lot of conservative voices were basically silenced by Jack Dorsey of Twitter back in 2021 after the right. election. Yeah. And I had this conversation with a liberal friend of mine, like, well, yeah, it's not free speech because it's a private company, but I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, so are correct. Newspapers. Newspapers are a private company. So,
correct.
And they,
correct.
They don't have to follow free speech either, right? Look at the New York Times. It's all liberal garbage right now. So, the left is hypocritical in this area.
So, that's not even getting into the Biden administration having angry parents at school board meetings investigated. I mean, that's
correct. Just, correct. That, in fact, Gary, they labeled them domestic terrorists.
Yep.
Yep. And that started here in San Diego. So let's get to the comedians that have been canceled that are conservative. Roseanne Barr, Tucker Carlson. You did not see any liberal. And the Democrats were out celebrating. Jimmy Kimmel said, oh, it's great that Tucker got canceled. You know, none of them were talking about his First Amendment. Shane Gillis was an old tweet from years ago came up and they fired him from SNL to give you who's the new head for the DC superheroes. James Gunn. He had a tweet about pedophiles and kids. You know, Marvel fired him. Then after it died down, they hired him back. Why? Because they were canceling all conservatives for jokes, for comedians. You know, so James Gunn kept his gig. Gina Carano. Remember Gina? She just won. She didn't win technically in court. Disney settled out of court because they knew what was happening. J.K. Rowling, they've been trying to cancel her. Death threats. In the U.K., if you say anything negative, they're going to put you in jail. They did that with one of their leading conservative comedians. Got off the plane last week, and they arrested him because of three tweets on X. Yet none of the hate towards her. Nobody's been arrested. Piers Morgan, he quit ITV's. This is England, but it's the same thing they're going through. Dave Chappelle. Megyn Kelly. Remember, she was just talking about Hollywood Halloween costumes. Got canceled from NBC. She says down the road she was kind of happy how it went down, but, you know, she was starting to stress over that over there. Hulk Hogan. Chris Harrison. Remember The Bachelor? You know, he made a comment about girls should be, I guess, at some type of party. That was not really kosher to say because there were scandals with that and mistreatment of women. He got canceled and never recovered. So where was the left? This is why we're angry. This is why we're not backing down. We're pushing on and going, enough with your nonsense. we don't care. And I think we're winning that battle now. It's kind of like when the old statement, the old saying, when you cry wolf once too often, you know, and I think we're in that. Let's start with you on your thoughts on the faux outrages, I like to call it.
No, I mean, look, all of these instances that you were talking about, I mean, again, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want in America, right? They can hire and fire who they want for any reason that they want, unless you're unionized, like Gary was talking about, those different groups that are unionized. But let's fast forward to now, right? So now people are celebrating someone's death, and it wasn't just a death. It was an assassination for his right to free speech. Right. And I think a lot of people are looking at people on the left and going, wait, you're celebrating this? This is okay with you? And I think a lot of people are going, that's not okay with me. And it's not okay with me that you're laughing about it. And so there was this lady on, I think it was TikTok or Instagram, and she's in San Diego, and she basically did a thoughts and prayers. Well, she got doxxed, right? She was making fun of Charlie Crook's assassination. She got doxxed. Her husband runs a handyman type company.
She didn't get doxxed. Like, to go to her house, they decided to take action against
her. They figured out
business.
Who she was.
Her business.
Yeah, they figured out who
There's
she was.
There's a difference.
So doxxed, in my definition, is they figured out who she was and then basically told everyone, this is who this person is. Her husband runs this electrical company, and do you want this guy coming into your home doing electrical work on your thing? And then they see a picture of Trump on the wall. Now what's going to – like, can you trust the work that this guy's going to do? Because it's okay that you die for your free speech, right? So right. I think when you talk about that kind of cancel culture, it's more acceptable in my mind, because there are people celebrating death. I don't want to associate with you. Take me off your Facebook and your Twitter. If you celebrate death, I write you out of my life. I mean, you're not going to work in my house on anything.
Right. No, I'm with you on that. Gary, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm. When it comes to people who are celebrating his assassination, and there are definitely quite a few of them, I think they're getting exactly what's coming to them in terms of losing their business or having professional complications, or really just facing basic moral consequences for the really disgusting things that they've been saying. For the most part, I think conservatives have done a pretty good job of keeping it specifically to people who were celebrating his assassination. But I'm starting to see a couple signs of people who have had online mobs targeted towards them, not for celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination, but for just saying that they don't like him. And maybe this isn't the best time to say how much you don't like Charlie Kirk, but I think there's a fundamental moral difference between celebrating his assassination and just saying, I really don't like what he said, but, he didn't deserve that. But there have been a couple people now who have been canceled for saying things like that. And I think conservatives need to be real careful, because if we go too far down that road, we're straight back to 2020, just on the other side.
I'm not going to argue that point. And from the audience, these people have the right to do that. Yeah. Just as we're doing. The difference that I see is we're doing it with the truth. With like, hey, we don't like you celebrating. We're not going to go to your shop at you. Your handyman, there's a price to pay. Get the hell out of my house. I'll find somebody else to hang my picture.
Yeah, let me bring up one example that I saw last weekend. So some guys were going to Office Depot up in Michigan. Yeah. And they wanted a Charlie Kirk poster printed out.
Yes, and, Office Depot.
And they basically just made that public. They didn't say they need to print this out. And that lady goes, oh, we don't print propaganda. Well, she got fired, but they just went to Staples, which is the way it should be. If this company doesn't want to do it, there's going to be some company out there that wants to do your business, but we're not going to make you bake a cake, if you get the reference, right?
Yeah.
If you don't want to bake my cake, I'll just go somewhere else and find someone who will. If you don't want to print my poster, well, I'm going to let your higher-ups know that you're not representing them well. But
right.
I'm just going to go somewhere else and print my poster.
Now, here's a business check, and I don't say this to brag. As a small-time operator and a small business owner, my business was a multi-million-dollar business that I ended up selling. one of the first in the fantasy sports industry. Combination of me being smart, knowing what to do with Lady Luck. I always tell people in business, there's a 10% of luck, right place, right time. You know, I would have fired her for that. We had, back before the social media, we had what you call V-Bulletin forums, and they still have those. You know, you'll see a lot of companies with the how-to questions about your computer, how to fix this. The forums are great for that. Well, that was a predominant way. That kind of, we had over 60, 90 forums, like for every NFL team, baseball teams. We eventually had to get moderators to start monitoring that because it was from both sides, not just one side. And I pushed the envelope a few times, but I had a rule. No politics.
Yeah.
You're done. You're out of here. Because as Michael Jordan said, Democrats play fantasy football too. You know, so these and Office Depot/Office Max, they are struggling right now. This is a big blow to them. But real quick on the hypocrisy of this is why it's not going to work. There's too much video out of there. So I want us to take a look at Rachel Maddow here real quick. Yeah, I know it's not Rachel Maddow.
ABC made the announcement Kimmel would indeed be taken off the air indefinitely. And this is just the latest chapter in Donald Trump's ongoing campaign to crack down on free speech, dominate the media, and essentially render the First Amendment meaningless. So it was for the journeyman cable news host Tucker Carlson, just fired from his third network. He believed he could say anything. No matter how vile, no matter how disgusting, no matter how offensive, no matter dehumanizing or belittling. And if you act like a sociopath over and over and over and over, you will become unpopular on the national stage. That's just like a basic principle. Over time, probably not going to work out well for you in the long run. Eventually, people will be rightly offended, disgusted by it.
So he was justifying Tucker Carlson getting Fox, whereas if he was truly honorable in terms of believing what the First Amendment stood for, he would have defended. So that's why we're like, get the hell out of here, nonsense. And I think the average Joe remembers this, you know, and I have never seen more videos in my life than I have the last few days of progressive kids coming over. I think one reason Charlie Kirk was killed is because he was effective. But let's keep moving on. I think Kimmel's suspension is a victory for fair play. It's not a firing. He's been suspended. Despite Brendan Carr's comments, they did that on their own because the affiliate pushback. Well, Nexstar has business dealings. Fair enough. Sinclair doesn't. And they were pushing back as well. ABC has saw him go from, what, 1 million in the coveted demographic to, what, about 100,000? It's like Howard Stern. It's like Colbert, you know? So the broadcast television is – they have regulations. That's what makes it different from anybody else. Oh, heck. I'm sorry, guys. We have some chat questions. They're all Big John. Sorry, Big John. I didn't see those. Big John's better at that than I am. So he's saying I'm doing worse by using the government. I'm not doing anything worse. I'm just showing what the facts are. There are rules you have to follow. I didn't like a lot of the rules in the military. I had to follow them. I don't like a lot of rules when I work for the man. I had to follow them. We are a society of law and order. We don't believe in anarchy. And it's that simple. We don't believe in anarchy. There's law and order. ABC doesn't want to deal with that nonsense. Ignore your license. Don't renew it. And go straight to streaming. Go straight to cable, which is what these companies are doing. Yeah. You know, they do have, you know, CBS is Paramount. You know, NBC has Peacock. I don't know who ABC has. Maybe they have ABC themselves. But they are doing that transition. And post Kimmel on there. He's free to say whatever he wants. He can lie however he wants, you know. So let's move on here to the tolerance. So there's a YouGov poll that overall 24% of all U.S. adults throughout thought the shooter was Republican. We talked about that. Democrats, 41% assumed. Independents, 28% assumed. Then there was the NCRI part of that YouGov survey. That said, 38% overall view murdering Trump as at least somewhat justified. 55% left the center, 14.1% completely. And then it's not enough with with Trump. They want Musk as well. 48% left the center said it's okay to murder him. These are people with more rigid, intolerant, progressive views. It's think my way or the highway or social justice. Blue sky. Man, blue sky just went ballistic. You know, blue sky and Reddit. It's like kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. So they've really exposed themselves. In regards to Musk, 40% found it acceptable for Tesla destruction, meaning violent protests. You know, so it's all out there. So this is unbiased data. We're going to talk in a minute about biased data, what we're seeing from academia, what we're seeing from the Southern Poverty Law Center, from the ADL. They all have flawed reporting. And we're going to talk about that specifically with examples on that. But your thoughts on this YouGov chart. We'll start with G.
I mean, it's disturbing to me. I remember looking at X right after Trump was shot at. And, I mean, people are saying on the left, no doubt, you missed or depressed that that this guy didn't actually kill Trump. So it is disturbing to me. But, you know, like people talk about fascism, right? Like, so you look at the purported tweets that or the text messages that came from Tyler Robinson, the assassin, the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk. And he basically said, well, Charlie Kirk's still full of hate, so I needed to go shoot him and kill him.
Which is like, a fascist tactic.
Right. So that has always been fascism. And, you know, the media loves to say fascism is right wing. Well, it is right wing if you're all the way on the left and you're a communist, because fascism and communism differ on, okay, well, how do you get the resources and corral the resources to serve the state? Republicans are way, way on the right side saying less government, little government. So these tactics, like you just said, are fascist. And part of it is you go on the streets, you beat people up, and you kill them to advance your political agenda. And I mean, there's some random people on the right doing that, right? But it's not anything organized. And even January 6th, when they say, well, that was an insurrection. Wait, an insurrection with flags?
Insurrection with the police opening the doors for them. Hey, come on in. Yeah.
Where were the AR-15s, tanks, bazookas? Because that's how you do a real insurrection. And I'm not an expert, and I'm not calling for one. But I'm just saying, if you call that an insurrection, then what's an assassin with a long-range rifle? What is that? You're going to call him a freedom fighter? Or what? You're celebrating that he did this for some – he's 31, but he was basically a kid in my eyes, just expressing his opinion. On faith and
welcoming debate. Yes, welcoming debate.
And welcoming debate. And that's why they need to bring down the temperature. Yeah.
That's why they hate him. And then you got the false claims of racism. You know, athletes, the easiest analogy with that is athletes. You got to look in the mirror, figure out what your flaws are, what your weaknesses, where it's your issue, and you improve and you focus on it. That's what Charlie talked about. But when he would bring up the stats, oh, you're a racist, because he's bringing stats up. But you saw thousands of videos on X, Facebook, and on YouTube from Black Americans, from Latinos, you know, all praising him. But I think what they hated worse was the fact that he believed in God and the values of God, and he would also preach that, you know, because he says his whole life was affected in a positive way by God, and that created a lot of changeover. There are a lot of posts out there that, hey, because of Charlie Kirk, I found God. Or because of Charlie Kirk, I'm thinking differently and I'm looking at things differently. And he was a force. Again, 62,000 inquiries to open chapters. His goal was 20,000. He's created a movement. And I think that movement's needed because in the 60s, when the hippies tried their best to radicalize and change the university system, they have. Now, the so-called free speech, y'all do remember the mobs that didn't want conservative speakers, especially at Berkeley. It was ironic to see Berkeley talking about how important free speech is in the podcast I saw the other day. All right, Berkeley, y'all are the ones where they had to cancel because they couldn't get enough protection to protect the people, you know. And as I said earlier, So I think the fact that he changed minds is what caused his death. So let's talk about any final comments on that in terms of the YouGov poll, G?
No.
How about you, Gary?
I guess the one quick thing I would say is that the most assigned book in colleges of education and really social science in general is a book by a Brazilian leftist called Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And the whole basis of the book is that pretty much everybody in society can be divided into two categories. The oppressor and the oppressed. And although the book doesn't say this outright, if you take a lot of its arguments to their logical conclusion, the conclusion is essentially the oppressed can do whatever they want in order to overthrow their oppressors. So if you're telling somebody that they're oppressed, that they have carte blanche to do whatever they want to overthrow their oppressors, that's how you get political violence, or at the very least, support for political violence.
Correct, correct. Now, there's a picture of – she wasn't canceled. They applauded her. Yeah. This is the rhetoric of hate. Let's talk about the ADO. They had a report, 2024, citing 67 right-wing terror acts since 2018, but they didn't classify anything Antifa. They excluded many progressive ideological violence, thus skewing that. The SPLC, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they've lost a lot of gravitas because they've been exposed so many times. Their list tags conservative groups as hate. The Alliance Defending Freedom is not a hate group. And they cherry pick. Then you have the Center for Immigration Studies. It's a nonviolent think tank. They condemned it as a violent one, the Federation for American Immigration, the Alliance Defending Freedom. It's a distortion effect. They want to create a false imbalance, and they overlook the leftist tolerance. Michael Knowles, a well-known conservative. Let me get rid of this. I just wanted to show an example here. But Michael Knowles, a well-known conservative, he himself was attacked in 2019 by leftists. But the police downplayed it as non-political. It was clearly political. That's why they were attacking him. The Nashville Covenant school shooting is a transgender shooter's anti-Christian manifesto. Ignored in classifications. Was not listed as political violence. And this is on and on and on. And guys, I discovered this about 2 years ago. You look on the internet. You see a lot of blacks and Hispanics. Gary Ward protected class. But they're claiming, they're claiming them as white in the documentation. Not as black or Latino. And that skews it. So this is happening. So you can't trust the reports out there. That's why I do my own research. I did my own research in the Democrat rhetoric by politicians. They claim J.D. Vance saying, all this is coming from the left. That's political rhetoric. They don't claim Obama. You know, we bring a gun to a knife fight. They don't claim what I showed you with Kathy Griffin there. They don't talk about Maxine Waters. They don't talk about AOC, Hitler, fascists, the bullseye of Biden. You know, we got to get in their face over and over. I found more than I can list on those. I have found nothing that would align with that type of rhetoric from Republican politicians. Why? If they said anything like that, it would blow up in the news, like they're doing with like they did with Colbert or Kimmel, you know. So you can't trust these groups that spew this nonsense. And my life in politically, how I look at what's modern up to date is when Trump came on the scene, and you look at all that data, and it skews hard left. Now these people want to go back to the Oklahoma City bombing. Oh yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, that was Gary. Were you even alive back then? You know. Then the Cato Institute, who I used to respect. I remember going to see one of their writers and getting an autographed book. A Cato Institute. They completely left out 9/11 when they came out with a report just a week or two ago. But they counted the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, they said, oh, 9/11 is an outlier. Well, I kind of think that Oklahoma City bombing is a bit of an outlier, too. If you're going to go that route. Your thoughts on that, Gary? Then we'll go to G.
Well, just talking about some of these organizations in general, it's a real shame that they've gone down this path, because a lot of these organizations in the not-too-distant past were doing some really great work. A lot of my research involves the ADL in some way. And even now, the ADL is still one of the best providers of Holocaust education in the country. A lot of their documentation of the spread of anti-Semitism is still really, really good.
But still arguing that. But
they delegitimize, and really all these organizations delegitimize the really great work that they do by investing themselves in ideological, political causes that they don't really have any place in. So, you know, when you talk about biased data and you make these sorts of commitments and you weigh in where you're not really needed, you know, it just muddies the waters. It makes everything worse, including the issues that they are good at. And that's my big problem, because it would be so much better if people just knew when they didn't need to weigh in.
Correct. Real quick, G, I want to show a couple of videos here. This is a C-SPAN. Here's a Democrat representative.
Do you think we throw around Nazi too often?
Probably, but also I think it's really important people know their history, because if you know the history of what happened, you'll know there were certain events that sparked overreactions. And what we don't want to happen is that ever to happen again. And right now, you could see an overreaction to an incident like this that could not be good for the country.
He's saying that we are overreacting over the Charlie Kirk shooting. That's what he's referencing.
Do you think we throw around often?
Probably, but also I think it's really know their history, because if you know the history of what happened, you'll know there were certain events that sparked overreactions. And what we don't want to happen is that ever to happen again. And right now, you could see an overreaction to an incident like this that could not be good for the country.
Oh, I'm sorry, people. I grabbed the wrong clip. It's his answer was, yeah, we should keep saying Nazi, you know, to reference it. That was his answer. But here's one. Here's an oldie but goodie. Let me show you this one.
I want you to stay angry.
That maybe Donald Trump will go away. Maybe he'll go to jail. Maybe he will die.
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
I said if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I will go and take Trump out.
He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
Although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying.
Violence doesn't come from Democrats, just to be clear. It is MAGA. It's specifically MAGA faction.
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, up to the right.
Now this has happened since 2015, and that's how people are looking at this. And they're like, no, I forget whose turn it is to speak that. But real quick, here's one of the final charts. And I have a list very similar to this, and I got more on it, but it goes a couple years back. But I was very impressed with Eric Schmidt, the Republican U.S. Senator of Missouri. He was the AG of Missouri that took Biden and got reversed and won a lot of these COVID-type lawsuits, at least for the state of Minnesota or Missouri. Boy, he was great. This isn't the video, but I got everything that he was talking about. I'm sure you guys saw that video, but check this out. 2017, like I said, go back 10 years. That's all we care about, because it's been happening since Trump. It was taken to another level. This is all left-wing extremism. 2017, the congressional baseball practice shooting. 2020, the burned-down cities of the Summer of Love, which resulted in deaths/murders, $2 billion in property damage, and a lot of hate. But it made the BLM leaders rich to where they bought multiple mansions. You know, the Waukesha Christmas Parade Massacre. Remember, but in full transparency, we are still waiting to get the results of the car that the media blamed. So we don't know if the Ford car, the SUV, is giving his side of the story. Because remember, the media during that Christmas parade, there were headlines that a car plows into. Why? They didn't want to say it was a leftist. Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt. See, people forget about that one. The Covenant School shooting, Nashville, not classified as a political event. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt number one on Trump. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt. The United Care CEO's murder. The Abundant Life Christian school shooting. The Tesla attacks. Oh, too many of those to document. But each one is deemed a single attack. So that really blows that list up. You know, the murders at the Israeli embassy. Remember that far left loon? The ICE facilities firebomb, the anti-white stabbing in Charlotte, the Minnesota Catholic school shooting, the Utah New State firebombing attempt. That was just recently. And obviously the Charlie Kirk assassination. That's just a handful, people. There are many, many more. And then when you get these organizations that conveniently leave out, when you get law enforcement led by progressive chiefs, And what is it? Is every progressive chief in America now African-American and a woman? And I don't care. Just do your job. But I just find that ironic. I'm like, you're failing at your job. I'm just asking you to please do your job. I don't care what color, what gender. Just do the job. Because we saw that the one in the D.C. metropolitan area didn't do the job. And Mario Bowser was very happy about that. So I'm just like, I don't care if you're black, white, Asian. Just do your job is all we ask about. And again, real quick, the ADL, these are the SPLC, academia. And real quick on academia, the 60s hippies, the Weather Underground, a lot of them are professors now. So you've got to look at all their studies with a grain of salt. And that's why I do my own research. And I challenge anybody on the right, anybody with TDS, find me enough equivalent examples. Because, yes, there is violence on both sides. There's always that nut job. But, man, my point is the left has normalized it. They've normalized it. And then they cheer it on after it happens. That's the change. And I'm happy to see Senator Schmidt push back on it. I'm glad to see Byron Donalds not letting her get away. And that's what's happening. We're pushing back, but we're not getting violent. You know, if we were like the left, America would be burning right now, but we're not. G, your thoughts, and we'll get Gary's.
No, I mean, so you showed Obama on a, 3-second clip there. And I remember, and Gary might be old enough to remember, I don't know if you're paying attention to politics then, but there were posters of Obama with the Joker, makeup on him, and socialist under his picture.
Yeah, I remember.
And these posters were put up, I don't know, in one city, multiple cities or whatnot. And there was outrage. Like, oh my gosh, you're calling this guy socialist? And this was 2010. So it was right around the time he's trying to push his Obamacare agenda, which is a socialist idea. And so, if the glove fits, then you don't acquit, I guess. But so now, fast forward, about 10 years or maybe 6 years, 8 years. I don't know when they started calling Trump a Nazi. Maybe it's after Charlottesville. They started calling him a Nazi. And then you're going to have these crazy people out there going, man, if I could have gone back to 1931 and taken out Hitler, or 1889 and taken out baby Hitler, I definitely would have. Well, maybe that's a cue for me to take out Trump, right? Like, you got crazy people who think like that because all their top leaders in the Democrat Party are saying Nazi, Nazi, fascist, fascist, Nazi, Nazi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. I don't know if Obama's ever said it, but Nancy Pelosi. You got all the top people saying this kind of rhetoric. And so I agree with the host saying, well, I don't know if he put an opinion, but the host of that clip asking that question, should we stop saying that? And that congressman saying no.
Yes, yes. Oh, and that's a great segue, G.
Yeah, that's where the violence comes from.
So that's a great segue, Gary. I don't know if this has ever happened in the history of our nation. Three assassins in a 9-day span have court appearances. Mangione, who killed a United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, leftist, cheered by the leftist. Well, when he had some of the charges dropped, they were out in a group, woo! cheering them on. Ryan, what's his name? The guy who tried to kill Obama had a court appearance. Tyler Robinson obviously had a court appearance. Ruth, I think is his last name. Three assassins had court appearances in a 9-day span. And to G's point, which is why I said it's a great segue, Jasmine Crockett, Ted Cruz has to be knocked over the head. You punch. Representative Dan Goldman, he who has never worked a day in his life because he's an heir to the Levi Strauss. Trump is so dangerous, he has to be eliminated. Biden, time to put Trump in the bullseye. Maxine Waters, create a crowd and push back on them. Nancy Pelosi, why there aren't uprisings all over? Maybe there will be. Kamala Harris promoted the bail funds for the BLM riots. They're not going to stop, and they shouldn't. MSNBC, Matthew Dowd recently. Hateful thoughts lead to hateful action. Tim Walz embraced dark, woke, aggressive messaging. And this week, just today, we need to tone it down, Now, I cannot find the equivalent of Republican politicians making these kind of statements. And if there is one, and I'm sure there could be, but these were celebrated by the media and by the Democrats. That's why they're so easy. You can easily find them quoted and interviewed over and over. Gary, your thoughts on the assassins, three assassins in 9 days, and your thought on this type of rhetoric and anything else you want to add here before we close this out.
Yeah, it's probably been, God, I can't think of a time where there would be judicial proceedings in this sort of quick succession. Maybe the Gilded Age, maybe. Regardless, it's been a really long time. And, you know, this is probably my academia brain talking, but a pet peeve that I have had for a really long time is, I mean, obviously at face value, the fact that they're calling everything and everyone a fascist or a Nazi just turns up the temperature. It's ridiculous. It leads to the type of violence that we've been seeing. But it's also just wrong. Like, can you people not find another historical reference? Does everything have to eventually revolve back to Hitler?
They even got it wrong. Use Mao. I mean, what was it, like 100 million people he killed? and they support communism. Oh, God, yeah, really?
Up a bit. Use Mussolini. Yeah.
You know, one problem is that all these people who believe in these socialist ways or the fear-mongering, et cetera, they view themselves in that type of society as being part of the elite. I got news for you. You're part of the bottom working class as we are. All right, guys, any final comments? We're at 106, and I want to keep this tight. Gee, any final comments?
Well, Hody Johns just put a comment. We got to put it up on the board.
What is that?
On the screen.
Hody Johns is a libertarian, and he has his own show, Free For All with Big John. I agree with nothing, because I'm sure they agree with nothing here. But Hody is the man. Hody is a mover and a shaker, and he's an up-and-coming influencer. He's building his own libertarian brand, and I love go-getters like that. You know, we had a big argument, and I told Big John, hey, we got to keep Hody. You know, now later on, I said, I'll let him go and all that, because I thought Hody didn't want to stay. But I was like, we got to keep him. The guy knows what he's talking about. He's a good guy. And Hody talks the gospel. Not that I always agree with everything with the gospel he says, good or bad, but that's how it is with the gospel. You know, Methodists, Protestants, Catholics, et cetera, et cetera. We always have our disagreements. But Hody's a damn good man. Thank you, Hody. And yes, I do got good hair, but G's got the thick hair, and Gary on, he's just young. We'll talk about Gary on 20 years from now.
We got another comment.
I thought you said that you started at 10 Eastern. Now I have to watch a rerun. No. Alan Fernald. Real quick, guys. I'm going over here. Alan Fernald here. Let me tell you a little bit of Alan Fernald real quick. I was on an intel ship. They call them a spook ship. No, that's not racist. It's a term for an intelligence gathering ship. For all you old people out there, there was something called the Pueblo incident, I think in the 50s, where North Koreans captured our intel gathering ship, got a lot of data. That's what created how we dispose of data in emergency times. Well, we were on the spook ship on some damn 1940s platform. I mean, a World War II ship that had been converted to a spook ship. We broke dick. That's what they call it in the Navy. You broke dick. And we're floating into Nicaraguan waters. Maybe Alan can tell us. I want to say Nicaraguan waters. It was with FARC. We were just gathering intel. And yeah, we were broke dick. There was fire in, so I wasn't worried. I looked at the guy next to me and I kind of smirked. And I was scared. You know, us Latinos, we smile. And like in boxing, you get punched hard and it hurts. Well, we smile. Yeah, that didn't hurt. We're like, oh, hell. You know, so I smirked. And the guy next to me says, why are you smirking? And I said, well, if they capture us, they're going to need interpreters. I speak Spanish, but what happened is, Fernald, he may deny it, but to me, he has a photographic memory. That's why when Benghazi happened, I knew what went down, how it went down. I knew, like, when we broke dick, we all knew the president was, he knew what was happening. Panama, the base we have in Rodman, was on black alert, meaning everybody was up, ready to move. The teams were on alert, but it was dark. There's a book, a manual, like, that thick, and I exaggerate not. Alan, let me know if I'm wrong. But you can't memorize that. So we had this lieutenant. I'm not going to say his name because nobody liked him. And everybody, this is all we did.
And we're all looking at we called him Fernald. We called each other by last name. What's Fernald going to say? Because we knew. He knew it. And it got to the point where the officer, we were in combat. That's the dark area you see in the movies. And they would call back. And the captain, who's on the bridge, they were making us give reports every minute, which really doesn't work. But we were drifting. So the captain wanted reports every minute on our position. You know, we did it manually with that, and you know, and that's what you do. You do it every 3 minutes, but in this case, you want it every minute. And so he kept calling back, and asking for updates to this. And the lieutenant, who was the watch officer, would come on, click. This is a lieutenant officer. Eventually, said the captain says, like, I don't need to hear your shit. Petty Officer Fernand, what do you got? You know, he defaulted. The captain of a ship bypassed his chain command, went to an E5 to get all the information because that manual was that thick, and Alan knew everything about that damn manual. I've never forgotten that because Alan had no filter. That was his one problem. So Alan would always say what was on his mind. So he kind of alienated himself, but I knew Alan was a good guy, and we tried to work with one another, but man, he had no filter. You know, he's married, kids, God bless him. This was over 30 years ago, but that's who Alan Fernald is. And Alan disagrees with us. And Alan, check out, there's two regs in terms of the broadcast regulations that have to be covered by network television, and that's what all this falls under. And we do talk about it at all. And guys, with that, Alan, okay, I gotta post this up.
He says, still no filter.
Okay, first of all, Alan is like, yes, Nicaraguan waters with our broke-ass quad 40-millimeter guns that didn't work. See, that's the other thing. Tom Clancy was not 100% truthful. When you're out at sea, at least 40% of your gear is either not working because of the saw or under maintenance. You know? Yeah, our 40-millimeter. It's like, on paper, we were good to go. In reality, we had literally the duct tape on everything, you know? And we're not exaggerating. And then Alan's still... no filter. So God bless you, Alan. You just made me overrun the show by 12 minutes. Damn you. And with that, my friends, real quick, guys, Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself. Final comments, and then tell us a little bit about yourself and where people can find you.
Well, if the last week and a half have taught us anything, it's that, you know, even with the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk, that political discourse, disagreement, free speech, more important now than ever before. And, you know, even if a lot of people are getting their justified comeuppance for saying crazy things, we got to defend the principle, because it's probably, you know, depending on which amendment you want to put first, it's either the most important or the second most important amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And it's got to stay that way if America is going to remain America. But I do lots of writing about education, political culture, history in some cases.
Gary, let them know that you're a serious player. You had your stuff published in some of the more renowned magazines.
I've been in Newsweek. I've been in USA Today. I write pretty frequently for the Houston Chronicle, which is the largest newspaper in Texas. So I've been in Real Clear Politics, National Review, places like that. So check those sorts of outlets for my writing, but I'm most active on X at FRANKELGARION.
Oh, you have young voters under your handle. Real quick, before I get to UG, how we resolved it, we were 60 miles off the coast of Nicaragua. There's a 20-mile limit. The engines restarted, and then we went full speed at 6 knots to get out of there. Good night, Hody. Any final words from UG?
No, I mean, I think I hope the rhetoric drops, and I agree with you. It's mostly on the left. I think there's a lot of Trump derangement syndrome. They need to stop. And we need to have civil discourse in this country again. What happened to the boring days of Reagan and Tip O'Neill getting along and having a whiskey after other legislative sessions back in the day? We need to get back to that, because I think the left and right in this country have more in common than they have in differences. And unfortunately, right now, the left can't see that. And most centrist president that we've had since Clinton.
That's true. He's not really a conservative. He just aligns with a lot of what we believe in. At the end of the day, I think part of it is we're fat and happy. My friends in Panama, they have told me in Spanish, you know, those are first world problems, meaning we're dealing with life and death and just living week to week here. Y'all be making crap up just to have problems. And I think that's a product of a successful civilization in what we've created, but it's created this angst and this indoctrination, this radicalization. All right, guys, for the audience, look, the Jimmy Kimmel debacle, it shows us people don't understand the First Amendment and they ignore the regulations broadcast channels must follow. Yet Democrat leadership is using it to create a false narrative. And then they cry First Amendment when called to the carpet, despite the fact they've demanded the removal of conservative shows, conservative icons, and Fox News itself. Then there's a rhetoric from the left they claim is backed up by data. The problem is you get biased data from the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, and academia and others of their ilk by conveniently leaving out a lot of the violence by the left, such as Antifa or recently this transgender violence. Left-wing rhetoric isn't just words. It's become a pipeline to normalize murder. Three attempts on Trump, Charlie Kirk. And this is stemming from Obama's bring a gun to a knife fight, Biden's bullseye on Trump, Harris backing riot bail funds, to Trump and conservatives are Hitler, fascist, and racist. None of that being true. Trump has done more for blacks, Asians, Native Americans, Latinos, white people. He's done more for the average American than any president in my lifetime. We've seen the rhetoric manifest itself in Kirk's killing, the United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson's assassination, and again, attempts on President Trump's life. We conservatives, I believe, are correct. This isn't a both sides, yes, both sides have done violence. We do admit that. But as we've seen over the past decade, it's a one-side issue of normalizing violence, condoning it, promoting it, and then laughing at the victims of that violence. It's the left! So how do we fight back? We push back with unity. We expose platforms like Blue Sky. We fund organizations that expose the hate. We demand accountability, such as with ABC. Yes, we hold institutions across the board accountable. It's our American right to go, we will not shop or support your establishment. We have free speech in this country, but that doesn't include speech that incites imminent lawless action, generally known as violence. The First Amendment doesn't protect those who defame others with false statements or falls into other exceptions, such as FCC broadcast regulations. Regulations that late night shows must follow, but have consistently ignored for years. Until Democrats own their hate, the body count will rise. And the silver lining for conservatives, Charlie Kirk's legacy lives. 62,000 new TPUSA chapter inquiries and future chapters will prove his movement's unbreakable. Let's honor him, our values, our freedoms, by fighting fire with truth, breaking the cycle before it claims more lives. America deserves better, and we all, as G said, must unite to deliver it. And that's our show. Before we go, make sure you hit like, share, and share it, as well as a thumbs up. And then bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify at Grumbling, under the profile Grumblings Media. Check out our store at grumbliesmedia.com. I apologize. I should have shown you some of the swag. We have cups, mugs, t-shirts. And as always, let us know your thoughts in the comments. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar for G. Mangani. And thank you, Gary, for joining us. And we are out.